Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We continue looking at the strange murder execution style of the Vietnam veteran, high Defense Department official, and we're still wondering why there's no major league news coverage. Now, there are some good signs. Fox News is starting to join in, albeit on the wrong side. Today, Fox News continued the smear campaign against John Wheeler by mentioning something about an arson attempt without any evidence whatsoever. We'll play that soundbite. CNN is covering it, but by and large, they're not really into this. But the mysterious death of John P. Wheeler has captivated the listeners of the Savage Nation and perhaps the blogs as well. I'd like to play for you a soundbite in a moment from Fox News from a man named Eric Shawn, who continues the smear campaign against Mr. Wheeler while there's no evidence whatsoever. Listen to clip 28.
This is the report that he may have been involved in an arson attempt against the house of the neighbor. There's a house that's being built by the Marinis in front of the Wheeler house, and they've been in court trying to stop the construction of that house. They think it's too big. And on December 28th, there were some incendiary devices found in that house, and the police wanted to talk to Wheeler about it. So it's just very bizarre. The tapes, what happened to him, these incendiary devices, and just no clear answers yet this morning.
Well, I'm ashamed that I'm even in the same business as Fox News listening to this. They really know better than the National Enquirer. In fact, they're worse. In this case, Eric Shawn owes the family of Mr. Wheeler an apology. They should consider suing him. If I were them, I would, because I'd like to know where Eric Shawn and Fox News gets the evidence that Mr. Wheeler put the incendiary devices in the house across the street from him. And I have to ask you a bigger question. Why do you think Fox News is now spreading this rumor in smearing this, I would call him, patriotic, heroic American who was found in a garbage dump? Why would he do that? Also, another story today, Nancy Pelosi returns to the crypt of the Democrat Party, joining the others who were thrown out the door. And listen to that. You're not going to believe this one. You're not going to believe this one. Nancy Pelosi, as she gave up the gavel to John Boehner, declared that now, as a result of her, more doors are wide open for all of America's daughters and granddaughters, and that she was honored to be the first Italian-American speaker. Do you have that soundbite? I'd like to hear that if you do.
And now more doors are wide open for all of America's daughters and granddaughters. I'm also honored to be the first Italian-American speaker.
Okay, if you are of Italian-American heritage, are you proud of Nancy Pelosi, and if so, why? Or are you embarrassed and insulted by Nancy Pelosi, and if so, why? I've never heard anything like this. We know the woman is deranged. We know the woman is power mad. We know the woman stands for the slogan, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We know she was the most imperious, corrupt speaker in the House of Representatives in the history of it. But now to drag her ethnic heritage in at the last minute leaves me to wonder what the heck is she thinks she's doing here. Play that again for those of you who missed it.
Are wide open for all of America's daughters and granddaughters. I'm also honored to be the first Italian American speaker. I do.
Can you go get me the Godfather speech from GF3, guys? You can dig it up, Phil. Where they capture the senator? Remember in the cat house in Nevada. And at first he had slurred Michael Corleone, and now he's glorifying Italian-Americans. There is something so eerily familiar about this a passing reference as she passed the gavel to Boehner. And as she passed the gavel to Boehner, Pelosi declared that his gavel was larger than most. Now, I don't even want to go there. What does she mean by that? 1-800-449-8255. Now, if that's not enough for you, here's something else. You know WikiLeaks. You heard about that, right? You know about a guy named Julian Assange who would have been perfectly happy wearing an SS uniform. In fact, he is the embodiment of the pan-Arab, pan-Nazi brigades that plagued the earth between 1930 and 1945. That's the part about Julian Assange that strikes me as most eerie. If you put that guy in an SS uniform and you had him portraying a young, cowardly SS officer who condemned millions to death, wouldn't he be perfect for the role? Listen to what he came out with today. He gave an interview to Al Jazeera, and he said that Israel runs the United States and European newspapers. Did you hear this? He said that he gave this to an Arab outlet, Al Jazeera, and now he's feeding anti-Semitism worldwide, and he said he's going to leak new files very soon against Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, now you understand why the American left is so dangerous. So we have a lot of characters to focus on today on the Savage Nation. If you'd like to call about your conspiracy theory as to who it is who killed Mr. Wheeler, or if you're an Italian-American, are you proud or do you think that Pelosi dishonored your heritage? And any other topic that I've touched on, now play the part from GF3.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to verify the witness's statement. For years now, a growing number of my constituents have been of Italian descent, and I can remember them well. They have honored me with their support and with their friendship. Indeed, I can proudly say that some of my very best friends are Italian Americans. However, Mr. Chairman, at this time, unfortunately, I have to leave.
All right, now you understand if you saw Godfather 3 what that was and why the senator suddenly said that and how the senators looked at each other quizzically as he was giving the speech. But remember, GF3 was written, the book was written by Mario Puzo of Italian American Heritage, fabulous book. GF3, in which this appears, I believe, Puzo may have, oh, that's GF2. I think Puzo wrote the script with Coppola, both of Italian American Heritage. So don't say that I'm the one who pointed this out. It was they who pointed it out for all of the world to see. But why do you think Nancy Pelosi would suddenly dredge up her ethnicity as she's thrown out of the door for the horrible job that she has done? New York City, WOR, you kick it off today on the Savage Nation. Not about Nancy Pelosi, nor about Pasta Fazul, but about Mr. Wheeler. Joseph, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I think you're a brilliant man. Here's my idea.
You can thank my mother for that, but go on.
Thank you, mother and your father. Here's what I'm thinking. The Russians did it because of his involvement with the Iranian virus. Now, I think they kidnapped him, not knowing he's a military man, tried to put him down with drugs. He fought back and escaped. But he was very drugged. He walked around for a day and a half. Then when he finally succumbed, they followed him and threw him in the dumpster.
Well, that's an interesting plot. You'd be a very good mystery writer, of course. You see, it's minds like yours that would make for good detectives. You understand that.
Okay, good.
Let's say, how do you think a detective puts a case together? He has to project his imagination onto a crime scene, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we have detectives left who are, A, imaginative? I don't know. And B, would they be permitted to even posit such an idea as yours without being thrown out of the bureau?
No.
See, this is the problem. I think this country has been so ironed out and ironed down, sanitized, homogenized, etc., by political factors in this country. I don't even know if detectives can think the way you just did.
Well, it makes sense if you think about it.
Why is the FBI not involved in this case? You heard the guy yesterday saying they have no jurisdiction. That didn't sound right to me, did it?
No, it did not.
I mean, the man was a top American ex-Defense Department official. The FBI, you would think, would be all over this case. Why are they not all over this case?
Told not to put their hands on it.
Correct. So if they were told not to put their hands on it, that's coming from the Justice Department, and that could be coming from the President's office itself, couldn't it?
It definitely can be. But I think maybe behind the scenes, there are people looking at this in similar lines to what you're saying and what I'm saying.
Well, did you notice that today all of a sudden Fox News covered it, but in the other side, they took the other side, they smeared him with the incendiary device lie? Where is the evidence that he planted these incendiary devices, and what are these incendiary devices that they're referring to? Does anybody actually know?
Something I heard, smoke bombs in it, or I don't know.
Yeah, they were the kind of rodent smoke bombs that you could buy in a hardware store. Is it not possible that an exterminator put them on the property, or that the property owners themselves put them on the property? Why are they trying to say he did this?
You're a very good detective, Dr. Savage. Correct.
Well, maybe he did, but where's the evidence? Why would Fox News take the bait whole, so to speak, and then put this out on the airwaves as though the man, he's deranged, found in the street, one shoe, planted incendiary devices? Why would Fox News be taking that position? Unless they're part of a government media complex. Like they're not, okay? It's the same reason they wouldn't cover my case in England. Same exact story. I think Fox News has lost all credibility to me. I'm not telling you what to think. 1-800-449-82. Send Joseph a copy of Trickle Up Poverty as I return in a moment.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. We're talking about all of the corruption and desperation that we see out there. It's a very depressing landscape. I got to tell you, maybe it's me. I don't know. But, you know, it's the first week of January. All right, the weather stinks. I told you you're going to get walloped with another snowstorm. It's not because I read a crystal ball. I mean, we get it here. You get it there 3 days later. So the East Coast is going to get hit again, right? The weather stinks here in the San Francisco area. Cold and foggy, miserable. There's nothing romantic about miserable cold fog that won't leave. All right, if it leaves, you got sun, nothing horrible. Nightmarishly cold. Cuts through you. I like cold. I don't like damp. But is it me projecting my own emotions on the news, or is it the news itself projecting itself on me? The answer is the latter. The news is extremely depressing. We had almost a revolution at the ballot box in November, and look what we have now running the country. The K Street gang is back in force. Okay? This is what you got. I mean, I told you it was happening. We knew it would happen. Again, did I need a crystal ball to tell you it would happen? Who was the one who first said that we have a Republican Party running America? Me, 1994, when I started on a local station. Me. So does that make me a genius, a crystal ball reader? No, I'm a cynical, realistic American. You know, but it's always worked. The country's a great country. It can even support two gangs of crooks. Because there were always checks and balances, sort of checks and balances, that kept the crooks somewhat in place. And there were certain lines that the crooks wouldn't cross in my day. And that line was national security. Because we had men we could trust in the FBI, like J. Edgar Hoover, a great man. I don't care about the smears put out by vermin like the WikiLeaks guy. The very same vermin who smeared J. Edgar Hoover, who kept this country great and safe from crime, the very same vermin are now doing it to this country all over again. It's like the spawn of vermin. Look what we have today. There was a line they wouldn't cross in my day, and that was national security, because Hoover would have had them up on a House of Un-American Activities Committee. They would have been thrown in the slammer. Today, you don't know which Democrat has done what deal with what country to sell us down the river. I can name a few. They're not all Democrats. I can name some ex-Republicans. In my opinion, Henry Kissinger. Probably one of the most devious men in the history of the world. Has done deals for and with China for, 10, 15 years now? But, okay, you'd expect it from a man like Kissinger. How about Madeleine Albright? You remember that moron who was the Secretary of State under Clinton? The disgrace that she made of herself and of the position? A lobbyist for China. You think that there are no names attached to the demise of America and the meltdown of our currency and our national security. There are names attached to it. Only there's never going to be an investigation of Kissinger, of Albright, or even of Bob Dole, who was a lobbyist the last I checked, for businesses that wanted to do business in China. Now, unto itself, there's no law against doing business in China. Tens of thousands of Americans do business with China. I have nothing against international trade. I'm not one of these limited minds that thinks that everything should be made here. We'd be back in the buggy whip age if we did that. However, when you are exporting national security items or issues related to national security, or you're sharing technology, if you want to put it that way, with the Chinese military through front companies, et cetera, and so on. You get the picture? So therefore, as I say, in my day, this never would have happened. They would have been in jail. They wouldn't have dared to do it. We had a different breed. Different breed. Now look at what we have today. You don't have to look any further than the White House, who just called in Mr. Daley of Chicago to be the chief of staff. Can you believe this? This is almost a parody of itself now. In other words, when we've been saying Chicago-style politics, everyone thought we were making it up. Now it's Chicago-style politics. They may as well have deep-dish pizza in the White House. They may as well put an oven into the White House. They may as well put a deep-dish pizza oven in the Oval Office for what we're going to get now. If you think it was bad in the first 2 years of Obama's despotic regime, you are right. But you've seen nothing yet. Wait till you see what's coming now. Now it's naked. Now they don't even care anymore. Portland, Oregon. Molly, what do you think? Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
All right. Here's my theory here. Now banned in Britain makes all the sense in the world. I've been listening to you for days. Say Wallbanger, the golfer, even Mr. Buckford. Nobody is talking about this. Who is the one talking about this? The one who was banned in Britain with no mentions from WikiLeaks about what's been going on, because all the stuff coming out on WikiLeaks would damage true-blooded Americans like Mr. Even though...
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm saying you said stuff that comes out on WikiLeaks would damage what?
True, honest Americans looking out for this country. That's why you're trying to be marginalized. They can't dump you in a dumpster because there's enough of us who would tear down the walls to get answers. So what are they trying to do is take your microphone away from you.
Well, I'm not going to comment. I wouldn't make me the issue right now, but the issue is very interesting. WikiLeaks has dumped tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of documents. Not one email that they released shows anything to do with the British government and I, when in fact I published the emails from the Brown administration saying, put Michael Savage on the list of murderers and terrorists, keep him out of England, in order to balance the list, in order to make the Muslims not feel picked on. It's in my book!
Savage.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the conspiracy of the murder of John Wheeler has grown by mega leagues just now. The bunglers who killed him are now saying that they found his cell phone, listen to this, underneath the house across the street. So we are supposed to believe that a West Point graduate, a Harvard law graduate, a Yale graduate, a captain in Vietnam, a cybersecurity expert of this nature, is such a bungler that he would take incendiary devices to a neighbor's house and in doing so drop his cell phone. Now, if you were writing a mystery novel and you had an editor and you said, I'm going to fill in the plot line and we're going to say that his cell phone would be found 3 or 4 days later under the house, can you believe anything as amateurish as this is being done by whoever did this? Now, I can guarantee you now, it's not Iran or Russia. They wouldn't do this. This is coming from our own country. Listen to this story. It just came out minutes ago. Source: Wheeler's phone found at home across the street. A source tells WPVI News they found John Wheeler's cell phone in the house under construction across the street from Wheeler's home. Police have been looking into the possibility, listen, possibility, that Wheeler may have set off smoke bombs in the house last Tuesday night. This is a captain in the military, a West Point graduate. This is something a punk pot smoker would have done, set off smoke bombs in a neighbor's house. But look at the smear campaign. Look what they're doing to the man's name. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Last night, police took Athel Scott, a cab driver, in for questioning. They found his phone number on Wheeler's cell phone. Scott says he doesn't know how his number got on Wheeler's phone, but he says he does remember seeing him, blah, blah, blah. So mixed in with a real fact of a real cab driver and a real cab ride, they mix in a lie that his cell phone was found under the house. Now, why would he drop a cell phone under a house? He didn't do that. So, again, I have to go back to a movie, because sometimes life imitates art, in case many of you are naive enough to believe that this is actually possible. Perhaps you should get a job for a Rupert Murdoch. I understand that Wallbanger and the others may need a vacation soon. I want you to listen to an outtake from The Godfather. Now, this is after Michael Corleone kills a police captain who was corrupt. Remember, he shoots him in that famous restaurant scene, Al Pacino, and he has to leave the country. Listen to this dialogue.
You're taking this very personal. Tom, this is business, and this man is taking it very, very personal.
Where does it say that you can't kill a cop?
Come on, Mikey.
Tom, wait a minute. I'm talking about a cop that's mixed up in drugs. I'm talking about a dishonest cop, a crooked cop who got mixed up in the rackets and got what was coming. That's a terrific story. We have newspaper people on the payroll, don't we, Tom? They might like a story like that.
They might.
Did you hear that? They just might. We have newspaper people on the payroll, Tom. They just might like a story like that. They just might. They just might. No, I didn't write that movie. It was done in 1970. It was Mario Puzo and Francis Ford Coppola. They're far more knowledgeable than I am. But do you think that 40 years later, people don't own reporters and newspapers? Are you joking? You must be kidding me. So now let's bring it up to what I'm telling you. We're supposed to believe that Wheeler's phone was found in a home across the street? A man of this level would put off a stink bomb and B, drop a phone while doing it? Why would they say this? They're trying to show you he was deranged, he was a fool, he was wandering around, he had dementia. Next, they're going to say he was frequenting a bar with prostitutes or with men. Wait, that's going to come out next. That's going to come the next step. And, oh, yeah, I see. And he got drugged up. I see. And he didn't know what he was doing. And, yeah, and some bad guys just whacked him and threw him in the dumpster. Case closed. Let's go look at Lindsay Lohan's underwear when she falls down at Sunset Boulevard. Or let's look at one of the morons in the movie business who just came in and out of rehab. I'm supposed to pay attention to that instead. You know, I'm going to say it until you finally hear it. Okay, let me say it again. The press is supposed to be the watchdog for the people. Tell me how many watchdogs there are left. Can you count them on one hand or two hands? How many watchdogs are there on Fox News? Let's put an X through ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN. That's old news. Remember Fox News came along? It was a bright, fresh outlet of the truth. Look what it's become, for God's sakes. This is not a personal vendetta. I have no personal vendetta against Fox News nor anyone in the business. But they're not representing any different approach than the others anymore, are they? They moved to the center. And as such, they're no longer reliable. Okay? So you believe his cell phone would be found? How did they find his cell phone and throw it underneath the house? Who got his cell phone and threw it under the house? Okay? Investigators have removed floorboards near the kitchen sink in Wheeler's home and have surrounded the area with evidence tape. They've also dusted the kitchen floor for shoe prints, which reveal someone was inside with what appears to be work boots with a knobby tread. Wheeler was wearing loafers and holding one of them in his hand when he appeared on surveillance video at a Wilmington parking garage last Wednesday night. Could you believe this? Wheeler's phone found at home across the street. Well, you could just take it the other way. Whoever killed him stole his phone and threw it into the house with some smoke bombs. You could look at it that way, right? They also dusted the kitchen floor for shoe prints, which reveals someone was inside with what appears to be work boots with a knobby thread. Wheeler was wearing loafers and holding one of them in his hand when he appeared on surveillance video at a Wilmington parking garage last Wednesday night. So the whodunit remains whodunit. The whodunit remains whodunit. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I try to move it off this topic. I can't. The bungling gets worse. It gets silly. If I ever submitted this to my editor at St. Martin's for the mystery novel I'm writing, the editor would say, Mike, look, the book is really good, but you can't put this in here because nobody would believe this. Okay, it's not a believable plot line. So you have to take that chapter out. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Right? Here we go. Let's go to the callers. They know everything. Alex in New York, WOR, your opinion, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, it's an honor and a pleasure to speak to you finally. You are my hero, and I've listened to you for many years. Just wanted to mention that I read an article in the EU Times that Mr. Wheeler was involved in revealing some information about the U.S.
Yeah. No. We dismissed that yesterday. I read the EU Times. I tell you what that is. the EU Times is a front for the Soviets, the ex-Soviets who are now running Russia. They're the ones who put that story out. It has the KGB all over it. I mean, if you read it carefully, it's just a smear against America. It's that we were moving phosgene gas from Iraq and storing it in Pine Bluffs, and that they were spraying it and it fell in the river and it killed the birds. I saw the story. No, no, no. We dismissed that as nonsense yesterday on the show. That's something only for the bloggers who don't have a radio show that anyone listens to.
Yes, that is.
Thanks for the call. You know, I mean, you can run that by perhaps someone else. Maybe try that with a wall banger. He might find that intriguing enough to give you a job on his show as a fill-in. You never can tell. So what would you like to talk about? Pelosi, the FBI? Let's go to New York again. Tony, on the FBI, you have a comment on that? Go ahead.
Yes, I do, Michael. Over the past couple of days when we were talking about the Wheeler case, you were questioning why the FBI wasn't more involved. And here's my theory. I think they are involved up to their necks. But given Wheeler's background, I think what they're doing is they're laying back, they're letting the local PD collect all the forensic evidence that they're going to cull through, and then when the FBI finds anything that might be incriminating the government, they're going to confiscate it and lock it up.
Well, here's the problem. Local police will probably mangle the evidence and destroy it before the FBI gets near it. You got to give the FBI credit for being the best forensics experts in the world. I mean, let's put it in plain context. They're known to be the best in the world or amongst the best, right? Would you want a local cop going through the evidence before the FBI touches it? Do you think it wouldn't be tainted by that point?
Well, either that or maybe they're just being in there as a shadow group and really kind of overseeing the investigation.
Yeah, but America's interested in this case. Even CNN and Fox picked it up today, reluctantly at that. The leg twitchers at Fox realize their credibility is on the line, that they can only get away with lip gloss for so long until people start to dismiss them as what they are. So the fact is, even they're making a limited attempt to make believe they care about this case. I believe this is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger now because there's just too many elements here that don't make sense. But look at the guy's background. A top government official is wound up in a garbage dump and the FBI is not involved? Why? Tell me why. It doesn't make sense to me.
Makes no sense. The other thing I found out today that you're talking about MITRE Corporation and some of the things they're involved with. I know they wrote a lot of programs and databases for U.S. Space Command out in Cheyenne Mountain.
Right, we understand that. Obviously, they're a consulting firm deeply tied to the defense industry, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. I mean, I'm a strong supporter of the defense industry. But the fact of the matter is, this man was found in a garbage dump. We, the American people, want answers, and we're not getting them from local police and bad reporting of the type I've been talking about here on the show.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all I'm saying. It's bad reportage and bad investigation thus far. Tennessee, Jerry, you're next up. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Thank you. Just want to say thank you personally for Trickle Up Poverty.
Well, thank you.
You covered that so well already. Now, what's going on here? This guy was a patriot. God forbid, he loved his country.
Yes.
And he lived a life of the people that they loathe this type of man. Now, if he would have been the homeless singer who was found with a Che Guevara t-shirt on and a red beret, this would be an international incident. There's nothing these guys can use. Now, they're on the story, but like an earlier caller said, they're trying to skew this guy in any way they can. They're going to paint the picture that...
That's right. They're trying to smear him, make him look deranged, and then they're going to tell us he fell and hit his head and died. And a good Samaritan put him in the dumpster so he wouldn't be run over.
Right, and other than that, there's nothing in the story that they can use. I mean, it's terrific copy for a sane person.
Yes.
But we're not dealing.
Are you telling me that the press corps is so deranged that they don't even understand the magnitude of the story?
Right, and even the pretenders on Fox, I mean, come on. You covered this so well. School days, eliminating the propaganda ministry, you've already covered it. Chapter 9, brilliant.
You know, I don't even remember the chapter, and I'm loath to read from the book at this point. Let me just see. School Days, Eliminating the Propaganda Ministry in Trickle Up Poverty. You know, I've never read from any of the book on that thing. Yeah. The unofficial Obama Ministry of Propaganda has managed to adopt a disturbingly skewed, anti-capitalistic, anti-personal freedom, anti-spiritual, ruled by the gentility vision of what the world should be, and they're damned if they'll be stopped from trying to impose that empty nihilistic view on the middle class. That's interesting. The current iteration of the U.S. Ministry of Propaganda isn't made up of only members of the press, once the fourth estate, but now the fifth column, who have been in Obama's hip pocket since the presidential campaign of 2008 began. It encompasses other institutions, including American schools, that perpetrate the leftist version of the big lie that today threatens to turn our representative democracy into a dictatorship favored by Marxist fellow travelers like old York Times columnist Thomas L. Friedman. It includes the U.S. film industry and many Hollywood filmmakers who continue to insist on producing movies that promote a leftist agenda. Well, I see where you're coming from. That's pretty well written, Michael. I could see why the book was such a big hit. I guess I was telling it like it is. Is that it?
Yes, you've already covered it all.
Well, I don't like to be reading from my book again because I think people have bought it, and I don't want people to think I'm going to just read from my book. But it's all tied into the same storyline, the lack of education leading to the lack of a curious media, an investigative media. And the conclusion to the chapter is the most important part, Jerry, where I say bring back UAC. Bring back UAC. It's one of my points of how to save America. And that's a very important topic that I should talk about another day. I'd like people to read pages 255 and on and see what we really need to do to save this country. And it's called Bring Back the House of Un-American Activities Committee. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Look, I'm not going to turn this into my life career here, the John Wheeler murder, but it's disturbing, and I'll tell you why it's disturbing. If an American of this level, especially such a patriotic American, can be thrown in a garbage dump with so little concern on the part of the media and the American people, we're living in a country that virtually has disappeared. Sure, there are millions of us left who care about character and the nature of the dignity of human life, let's put it to you that way. But by and large, do you think this country really cares about human dignity anymore? 30-40% of the people are drugged up on psychopharmaceuticals that turn them into zombies. Half the women are running around with faces that look like a gargantuan nightmare, like gargoyles. Look at the country. It's like a country of soulless monsters. How long has it been since you heard the word soul used? You know, I'm from another generation, I admit it. Does anyone use the word soul anymore? I never hear it. It used to be quite popular in my day. In fact, it was the mark of a human being was, he's got soul, she's got soul. What a soulful singer. What a soulful jazz piece that was. I never hear the word anymore. It's all noise. It's all noise. And so how does that relate to the death of this man? Directly, indirectly, some ways, no ways. I admit truthfully, this probably has something to do with the economy, and people are just so worried about survival, they can't worry about the other man's problems. And I understand that as well. Who has time to worry about the death of a guy they never met in that regard? But that's also worrisome. Is there no national conscience? Is there no national mind? No, because the government media complex destroyed the national conscience and the national mind. They don't want a national conscience and a national mind. Instead, they want you to worry about an actor who went in and out of rehab. You understand that? Every day, another one. That's suddenly a badge of honor, going in and out of rehab. I never heard of anything like this. If you have a drug or alcohol problem and you go in rehab, why do you want us to know about it? Why is that a badge of honor? I don't understand it. Maybe I'm too old for the job. Maybe I look at the world in another way. I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of touch with reality. Maybe I should care about a low-life actor who got drunk on New Year's Eve and fell and hit his nose and went into rehab and is featured in the New York Post. Maybe I should care about a homeless bum who they found in a garbage bin who has a deep voice and they suddenly turned him into the equivalent of virtually every great broadcaster in history in order to cover up the real story of the death of Wheeler. Suddenly some homeless bum with a deep voice is suddenly a journalist now. He ought to go to work for Murdoch. After all, he's got a good voice. That's all you need. You don't need a good brain to go with it. All you need is a good voice. See, that's all you need in the media today, a YouTube sensation. Who goes to YouTube and looks at sensational things but five-year-old children? I don't go to YouTube to look for sensationalist thing. Do you go to YouTube and look for the latest sensation? I don't. I don't have the time for it. So what's the collective consciousness that goes to YouTube and looks for the latest sensation? 9 years old? 10 years old? All right, children are entitled to that. And then all of a sudden, oh, he's got a certain number of hits on YouTube. Let's make him a broadcaster now. And then he calls his mother. You hear that? I can't believe what they're putting out. So here we are. We're dealing with real serious stuff here. Guys are winding up in dumpsters. And the bunglers who killed him are now trying to have us believe he put incendiary devices in his neighbor's house without any evidence whatsoever. Don in Tampa, we've got a minute left. Tell us what you think about this.
The intelligence officer would have noticed he was being watched. And the warrior would have taken whatever weapon he had, probably a sidearm, and those smoke bombs, gone across the street to smoke him out. Find out who it was, capture him, get control.
Whoa, wait a minute. Smoke who out?
Who was in the house across the street watching.
Oh, you mean this empty house? Was the house empty? You're saying he thought he was being watched from across the street?
Absolutely.
I mean, okay.
I was writing a book. It would be the warrior comes out of him. He grabs a rat smoke bomb, going to smoke him out, find out who's there, have him arrested, take control of the situation like he would in any battle situation that he was trained as an officer to do, and they got the best of him, probably administered the drug then, but being who he was, he got away from them before it took enough effect.
Oh my God. Wow, that's chilling. That certainly beats Fox News.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, here we are, incendiary devices here, incendiary devices there. The most important story about incendiary devices is the one of the murder of an American patriot, an American warrior, Mr. Wheeler, found dead in a dumpster and ignored largely by the mainstream press for reasons that we too well understand. And now they're trying to smear him, saying he set off incendiary devices, and his cell phone was found in the house across the street that was empty, that he had a dispute with the neighbor. But at the end of the last hour, we had a caller who actually had a plausible theory, meaning, let's say for the moment that they can trace the so-called smoke bombs in the neighbor's house to Mr. Wheeler. Unto itself, it sounds bizarre, and it would tend to confirm that he was kind of deranged, if that's true. And yet my caller came up with a scenario that made it sound not so deranged. He said maybe Wheeler knew he was being watched from the empty house across the street, and he took a gun and he took some smoke bombs. They're basically they used to make rodents come out of gopher holes. You know, you throw them down a gopher hole, and they, when you light them, they give out a lot of smoke and the gopher comes out of the hole. So maybe he went there, he tried to smoke out the guys who were trying to kill him, and they got the best of him, but they grabbed him and they drugged him and released him. And then the rest we still don't know of. That's another theory, isn't it? So we don't really know, but it's very worrisome in the sense that he's such a prominent American. Look, let's put it, I keep saying prominent American, you're saying why, I never heard of him, right? If the man was deeply involved in developing cybersecurity for the U.S. Air Force, would you say that that's a prominent American? I would. Let's put aside West Point. Let's put aside all the other credentials and involvements. The man was currently involved in cybersecurity for the U.S. government as a consultant. So that would mean that we have potential interest with regard to Iran, with regard to other non-friendly governments, or with regard to individuals within our own government who didn't like this man because he was a straight shooter. Okay? I mean, you could look at it any one of different ways that you want to look at it. So I'd like to know what you think. New York, Patricia, WOR, go ahead, please.
Michael, thank you so much for covering this story because I find it very disturbing. What bothers me here is...
Hold on one sec. I want to ask you something. Did you find it disturbing before I started to bang the drum on this story yourself? Meaning, did you find it disturbing on your onto yourself?
The minute I saw the story, before you were talking about it, and I went, whoa, wait a minute here. Something really stinks to high hell here.
Right.
And then you were talking about it, and I thought, I haven't heard anybody talking about this. It's like nobody wants to touch it. It's so inflammable is the only word I can come up with. But what bothers me here is this whole business about the neighbors to me is a bunch of fluff and a ruse because
yes,
the court ruled in favor of the neighbors already. So that was settled
correct
business.
The neighbor story has nothing whatever to do with it, and that was put out with the first press release. The first story by AP was about the neighbor. That was to make the neighbor look like they did it.
Exactly, but...
immediately, the first day... the government media complex wanted you to believe the neighbor did this to him. That was the first story.
My problem with this whole thing is, from what I've read and what I can, you know, just put together in my own head is, I'm putting myself in his shoes and I'm saying, this is a man who's got to have a known itinerary. He was dealing with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
That was back in the 90s, so I would rule that one out.
But he was also prominent in cyber warfare. Now, I
right
found it kind of funny that just about 3-4 weeks ago, I read this just little article that went nowhere about the damage the Chinese have done through cyber warfare in American corporations. And then yesterday, another little article comes out about a stealth bomber from the Chinese government.
Right.
My feeling is,
Who gave them the technology to build a stealth bomber? Which sterling American business individual gave them the technology and provided it to them through which lobbying firm?
I thought it was Bill Clinton, though, that I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know Bill Clinton. We can't blame him for everything. It's bad enough that the birds are falling out of the sky in Arkansas, but you can't blame him for that.
Well, I that's what I remember historically. But something smacks to me like somebody's been walking...
You're remembering Mr. Schwartz and Bill Clinton. You're remembering Mr. Schwartz, who was the single largest donor to the Democrat National Committee during the Clinton years. Schwartz started with a parking meter company in the Bronx. He converted it into Loral Space and Technology. He used government technology to launch rockets. He then shared the government technology for rocket launches with the communist Chinese, who told us it would only be used for peaceful means, and the rest is history. Yes, I remember that story well.
Well, Michael, I think somebody's been walking a few steps behind this man's shoes for a little while now. And I think he knew something.
It's obvious he knew a lot of things, but we don't know who the potential individuals, or rather the entities, are who may have killed him.
No.
What I don't like is that they're smearing him. That's the part I don't like. Because if they do it to him, they could do it to anybody in this country, with a little help from the schmucks in the media who are all too happy to go along with the smear campaign. Without any evidence, Fox News is already saying the things that the government media complex wants them to say. Did you hear what Eric Schorn said about the bizarre twist? Listen to clip 28. Listen to this now.
This is the report that he may have been involved in an arson attempt against the house of the neighbor. There's a house
stop.
That's being
Did
built.
You hear the leg twitcher go, Oh, real insight, Eric. Eric Schorn, you should be ashamed of yourself smearing a man 1,000 times better than yourself. And this is what I'm talking about. Do you hear this, Patricia, what I just played for you?
I hear that, and it seems to me you've been in that boat yourself.
Well, I haven't been in the dumpster yet.
Well, can I add one more comment that has nothing to do with this, but has to do with Nancy Pelosi being Italian?
Yes, sure.
I grew up in Brooklyn. When I was a girl in Brooklyn, we would...
I know what it means. Can you translate it without any, well, is it a family word in English?
No, it just means someone who adult, they would actually, in Italian, as adults would refer, and we...
Well, what's the Italian word? Let me get it proper. I don't want to mispronounce Italian. What's the slur?
Well, the
it's very nice.
That refers to woman.
Very, very nice. Look what you're saying on my show. How do you like that? All right. So in honor of you, I'm going to ask the question again. I want you to listen to what Nancy Pelosi today said and how she dragged her Italian-American heritage in at the last minute. This, to me, is embarrassing. Listen to it.
And now more doors are wide open for
let's
all
stop.
Of
hold it. Stop. Now, I want you to listen to the first. Let's start with the... Did you hear the voice, the change in the voice? She sounded like Hillary Clinton. The same diction coach that told Hillary Clinton to slow down her speech. And I know many a days have come calling up, down. Do you remember that Hillary speech? That weird whack job Hillary speech of years ago? Do you have that one? Let's interject that one, guys, if you could pull that one up, Phil.
That'd I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
That was Hillary Clinton in front of a black group a number of years ago. Notice the change in tonality. We know politicians are chameleons and they change their tones for the audience. Now listen to Pelosi again. This is from today. Listen.
And now more doors are wide open for
now, hold on. Where did she suddenly get a Sarah Palin accent? More doors. She's from Alaska? I thought she's happy with her heritage. She's sounding like Sarah Palin. Palin, suddenly more door. She sounds like Fargo. Do you hear this? The woman who just called her that name, did you hear that change in tonality?
I certainly did.
Is that Italian-American diction?
No, and I'll tell you what that is. That is a woman who's trying to affect Italian-Americans. And I can only speak as a New Yorker.
What do you mean, more doors? No one talks like that except Sarah Palin.
Italian Americans are very conservative people, and she is what we would call in Italian a disgraziata. She's a disgrace for having turned her back on the values of Italian American people.
Well, I'll let it go with that. I'll be right back, and thank you for your commentary.
Savage.
Teddy is sitting here next to me in the radio studio. You know, it's how many times my dog, when I run into people, they all want to know how Teddy is. It's amazing to me how this little guy, this little 11-pound gray silver poodle, I call him Silver, how important he's become to my listeners. But then we all love, you know, animals. Kind people love animals. There's only one group on the planet that hates animals as a principle of their worldview. And, of course, that should tell you everything you need to know, but we'll let it go at that. I don't trust people who don't like dogs, I'll tell you that. I especially don't trust people who hate dogs. Let me put it to you that way. I especially distrust people who won't have dogs in a taxi cab. But we won't go into that in any detail. I'm sure you could figure that out. So Teddy's fine, by the way. I went into a restaurant for New Year's Eve. I told you that right away. People said, how's Teddy? I didn't bring him. He couldn't make it that night. He was busy with his own friends. There was a giant poodle New Year's Eve party somewhere. Nah, Teddy's fine. People love dogs. They don't know about such things. If they get in a fight, they just fight. I don't think they plot. Do they plot like human beings to destroy others? I guess they'd be humans if they did that. Well, wolves do. I mean, wolves plot to how to hunt prey, don't they? Don't wolves calculate how to hunt down prey? Of course they do. They hunt in packs and they hunt down prey. Of course they do. Sure, we're no different than the wolf in that regard. Anyway, I don't have a wolf. I have a poodle for that reason. John in Kansas City, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I was just wanting to comment that the reason why Nancy Pelosi said that she was Italian-American, because I think that she might be in the race for the Italian ambassador seat, just as Robert Gibbs is.
Robert Gibbs wants to be the ambassador to Italy?
I did hear him mention today that he wanted to take up, you know, a position as the Italian ambassador today on the news.
I don't believe, of all people, Gibbs? Does he speak Italian? Is he of Italian heritage? I mean, wouldn't you think you should be someone with Italian heritage who could speak Italian? I guess it's not a requirement, certainly, you know, to be an ambassador. I mean, Gibbs could be an ambassador to, let us say, Norway. And the reason I say that is because they catch a lot of fish, which is made into gefilte fish. So I could see that, in that there would be some heritage connection there, albeit lightly. But what is Gibbs's ethnic heritage? Do you know?
I do not know that, but he is not speaking American. That's for certain.
No, that we know. He's speaking socialism. That I understand. That's his native tongue.
Absolutely.
Well, Nancy Pelosi might want to be the ambassador to Italy. That might suit her very well indeed.
Yeah. May I add, on behalf of my wife and my kids and myself, we would all like to thank you for representing us and our country, sir.
Well, that's very nice of you. I like to believe that we do have a sort of digital or nation here on the Savage Nation. It's very interesting. Well, we have a sort of nation, a media nation, don't we? We're a big, giant nation of some kind. Hey, whatever happened to the Tea Parties? Are they still existent? Where did they go now that the election's over?
I think they've been hijacked.
Well, I know Dick Armey tried to subvert them. That I know for sure, by creating some kind of Tea Party something or other. But it seems after the election, all of the sound and fury is gone. All you have left are talk show hosts. John, let me send you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty for your family library. It's a good book to have. It's a very important book. 1-800-44. Here's a great caller out of Pennsylvania. June, you're listening in Pennsylvania. What's on your mind today?
Yes, I worked downtown Wilmington Construction and on Market.
Well, hold on. Now, you work in Wilmington, Delaware, near where this murder occurred, correct?
I did. And that's a busy area. My question is, here's a man that was not in his right mind, supposedly, coming out of maybe the Hotel DuPont. Who did he visit? The next question is, how did he get 13 miles from Wilmington in a dumpster?
Well, wait a minute. That's an easy question to answer. He could have been killed anywhere and picked up, in other words, you're saying the dumpster's route is 13 miles from that hotel, where the route of the garbage truck begins?
Yes.
All right, so how did he get there? Well, whoever killed him took him there and disposed of the body out of town, in other words.
Okay. And it couldn't be a homeless person, right?
What, who killed him?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure the cover story is going to come out any day or any hour now that he was deranged. He was drugged on his own drugs. He was a bad man. All the terrible shame that he was once a war hero, how he slipped so badly. They'll get some witnesses who say they saw him in a bar drinking heavily and using prescription drugs, and that he went out and then he fell upon some bad people who killed him and threw him in a dumpster. That's going to be the cover story as sure as I'm standing here.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. Okay, you also brought out a point that the FBI is just giving technical help.
Yes, that's what I've read. That's right, only technical assistance.
Okay, a couple of years ago, Tom Campanto, and if anybody's from the Delaware...
Yes, that's right. Tom Campanto's girlfriend disappeared. Body was found in a fishing chest in the bottom of the bay. Was the FBI involved?
Yes, I believe they
Thank
were.
You. Thank you for answering my question. And he was not a government official. He was only a local lawyer. That's right. This case stinks to high heaven. When we hear the FBI is not involved, there's absolutely no reason for that. None whatsoever. They get involved if somebody says a racial slur. You got 50 FBI agents investigating their underwear.
Savage.
My day, women had permanence. Now men look at women like Nancy Pelosi, who has a perma-grin, and we wonder what's happened to the women of this country. From permanence to perma-grins in one generation. New York City, WOR, Arthur, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. Good to talk to you. This Wheeler case, it's just as disturbing as the political killings that have gone on in Putin's Russia, okay? You remember what happened to that Russian reporter, Anna Politkovskaya?
Yes, she was killed in Russia, that's right.
And you remember Alexander Litvinenko? He was poisoned by some radioactive substance.
Yes, the polonium sushi in London.
I mean, you know, the difference is, you know, at least we know how those people died. I mean,
yes, at least we knew that there was a murder and it was done by a government because the media reported it as such. But why is the media now not reporting this as a murder?
Yeah, nobody knows how Wheeler died. Nobody knows. Welcome to the new Obama regime, Michael.
Well, I don't blame Obama. I blame Fox News, and I keep saying Fox News because we don't expect it from ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, or the New York Times, do we? We expect it from Fox News, and they're not doing the job. They're the ones who I blame. They should be all over this.
I mean, I really don't...
They have reporters. They have the power. They could get to the bottom of this. They could get the police report. They're not doing it for some reason.
I mean, it's a very dangerous government we're living under now. It's scary, Michael.
Yes, it's terrifying. It means anybody can be killed at any time. And with a little help from the media, nobody will give a damn. Because they'll next cover it up the next second with homeless man with great voice, suddenly brilliant broadcaster, etc. and so on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call. No, it's overnight, 2 years under the Obama-Pelosi regime. We have melted down to a third world level. Sacramento, Ben, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. What I'm looking at is that we're a very Stalinese type apparatus where, like the old Soviet Union, when Stalin was in, he purged people that he alleged enemies of the state. And I'm believing that this just falls into that, as he was probably poisoned because he had too much information to give.
So I want to repeat what you said. Many people didn't get it. I did because I'm familiar with what you're talking about. You're saying it's like from Stalin's regime when he killed... Well, first of all, let's talk about what Stalin did. He killed many of his own generals because he thought that they were disloyal to him the same way Hitler did. Stalin was just as equal a butcher as Hitler, to put it in gross terms. But there was a great purge of the Soviet military in the 1949-1950, if I remember correctly, because Stalin was a paranoid lunatic. You're not suggesting that our government now is becoming a mini-Stalinesque government, are you?
Yes, I am, and I firmly believe that, sir.
So you would allege that this murder came from within this government itself because he knew things and he was going to leak it to the press?
Yes.
Well, we'll never know what it was that he was going to leak, will we?
No, we won't, because it's going to be whitewashed, cleansed.
Yes, they find this phone now the incendiary device is deranged, and of course his computer will have been purged by now as well. His laptop has probably been purged and disappeared.
Yes. I mean, look at our patriots. You know, General Crystal, when he was in Afghanistan, went in the war, he puts, Obama gets rid of him, puts in a new general, things are going downhill. A great captain.
Oh, and they got rid of the McChrystal, the real special forces general, and put in a Petraeus, the lesser McChrystal.
Yes, basically a mouthpiece for the Obama administration.
That's
the
correct.
Line.
A yes man, in other words. Another one like Gates, and it's frightening. Well, I don't know. The only way this case could ever come to light is if somebody who's close to this knows something and blows the whistle on it. But I think they'd be afraid to do it. I mean, who would blow the whistle on this? Who wouldn't be afraid? Who would do that? Who is going to leak? They'd have to put it out through some third, fourth party methodology. They'd have to go to a friendly reporter through a fourth or fifth, you know, disciple, so to speak.
And
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. So I'm not optimistic we'll know much more about it. I hope so. John in New York, you say this doesn't look like the U.S. government's involved. Go ahead, tell us why.
Yeah, Michael.
Yes, go ahead. We're listening.
Yeah, I'm calling from New York. I live
John,
on.
John, I know. What is it that you... Please, John, I don't mean to be cross and rude. We heard you. You're on the air. What's your point?
No, I know a guy who personally bought a money clip from your father.
Great. And what does that have to do with... Wait a minute. You're not alleging that this man murdered Wheeler, are you?
Point. My point is, I think that this is a guy, you know, if the government was involved, he would just disappear, like Jimmy Hoffa.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, I agree with that. It would be much cleaner. So who's involved?
I mean, you know, whiskey has killed, you know, has destroyed a lot of men. And
so you think he was? You think he was just a drunk?
Wound up in the wrong place, the wrong time. You know, Delaware is no picnic. Certain parts of Delaware, and you know, it doesn't matter where you went to West Point, whatever. And somebody killed him. He got into a beef with the wrong guy.
All right,
guy.
So that's another plausible theory that I certainly wouldn't immediately dismiss. That's the one they're going to put out. I don't buy it. A man at this level of cybersecurity is not a raging drunk. He would have lost his top security clearance, I believe, a while ago if he had alcohol-related problems. Don't you think, John?
I think this guy's further. I mean, you got a president that admitted doing cocaine.
John, who bought a money clip for my father? My father passed away in 1970. This goes back quite a long way. This is an interesting tale. Who bought a money clip for my dad?
This guy. No, this guy wouldn't sell me the money clip.
I don't understand. A guy bought a money clip for my father in 1965?
He bought in the 60s. He remembers when your father was on Ludlow Street like a flea market.
Yes, that's right. And what, your friend bought a money clip for my dad?
And he says, I gave this guy, I had a brand new money clip, sterling silver. I said, let me trade this for you, and I'll give you a few dollars. He wouldn't part with this for anything.
Why does he like this? Why does he like the money clip?
Because it's sentimental. But
you mean it's nothing to do with my father?
No, it does. It does, absolutely.
Oh, you mean he remembered my father and he likes him? He liked him?
Exactly, and he raised...
Oh, no, my father had a lot of friends. They loved him. He was a wonderful person. Yeah. All right. Well, that was then. This is now. I appreciate the call. Let's move on. I can't even think about it. Money clips. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. It's very interesting talk radio. It's an interesting business. Very personal now at a certain point. So, folks, what do you want to do? You want to talk about this? This is your show. I'm not going to do this. This is not my career. This is likely to become. There was a local station here in San Francisco about 15, 16 years ago, they got onto the MTB case, you know, an additive in gasoline. It was a very important story, but they wouldn't stop. They did it for 4 months. MTBE, rather. And I thought they were going to destroy the station with the story about MTBE. Every day, that's all they talked about, MTBE. I said, they got to stop. Well, they were actually responsible for having the government, the state of California, remove MTBE from gasoline. So in a way, I can see the obsession led to something of value. But I'm not a whole station. I'm only one show, and you're only one audience. I can't do this for the rest of my life. I mean, by tomorrow, I'll move on to something else. I mean, Obama just said that, well, how many more troops are going into Afghanistan now? Just when you thought it was going to end, they increased it? Go figure that one out. Can anyone listening to this show tell me why our brave men are fighting and dying in Afghanistan? I don't know. I actually, in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, whether you know it or not, I guess you could say I come out as not an anti-war, but I'm anti-Afghanistan. I'm anti-colonialism. I don't know what we're doing there. I have no idea why we are in Afghanistan. We got brave guys facing bullets, facing bombs, facing roadside bombs. They don't even know the mission. They don't know what they're there for other than to kill the Taliban. Right? Kill the Taliban. It's like Vietnam all over again. They're doing body counts now. How many Viet Cong did you kill today? Drag them in like deer on the edge of a fender. That's a war? I don't understand the country I'm living in anymore. Actually, I understand it too well. That's the problem. There's so many elements here in this war with Afghanistan that we haven't talked about. Why are they sending more men to Afghanistan right now? The country is broke. They're cutting the Pentagon budget. At the same time, they're telling the U.S. Navy to put women on submarines. Do you know how much that's going to cost to modify a submarine for women? Separate bathrooms, separate this, separate showers. Also, you can put a woman and make someone feel good in Congress? And so what, maybe you can cut down a one torpedo tube to give a woman a fresh shower on a submarine? This is what you have now running the military, this kind of idiocy. The same idiots that are going to destroy our submarine fleet are now adding men to Afghanistan, Marines to Afghanistan, while cutting the military's budget and troops. It seems like it's a Frankenstein. I don't know what we're doing anymore. Why are we there? I believe that we are like France before France pulled out of Algeria. How's that for a leap in time? You know, the French used to have a lot of colonies in North Africa. And then there was an insurgency, so to speak. You can call it terrorism, whatever you want. The Algerians wanted independence. They didn't want to be a French colony. And they were setting off bombs and killing French soldiers and this and that. And the French sent in more troops and more troops and more troops into Algeria. Eventually, the communists in France undermined the military sufficient for the military to be unable to fight anymore. And the French had to withdraw from Algeria, and it became what it is today. It's very similar to what's going to happen in Afghanistan. There's no question the handwriting is written on the wall. Unless we're willing to use massive, massive air power, we're never going to win that war. Because if it's a war of attrition, we lose. They have more fanatics willing to die than we have in order to satisfy the fat contractors and the idiots in the media who think that we need to be in Afghanistan. I don't know what we're doing there. I'm not going to sit here and say, gung-ho war. I'm not Rush Limbaugh. Let him go strap a uniform on instead of strapping on a golf bag or a feed bag. No, I'm not going to do it. Something's wrong with that picture. Why are we in Afghanistan? Why are we in Afghanistan? By the way, you're listening to The Savage Nation. I guess you're trying to figure out my political orientation if you've never listened to the show. Oh, I like his voice. Could he be that homeless guy they found in a dumpster who suddenly became famous? Could he be that homeless guy with a great voice? No, no, it's Michael Savage. The show's been on the air 16 years, and et cetera. So here we are. Why are we in Afghanistan? Nobody knows. Round and round it goes, and nobody knows. This is not like your father's or your grandfather's war, where there was clearly a purpose. You know, had the grandfathers not fought in World War II, you'd be speaking German, and some of you would be a lampshade, whether you're of a certain ethnicity or not. You would have been turned into a human lampshade. Because you got to remember that although 6 to 7 million Jews were mercilessly slaughtered, I said mercilessly slaughtered, mercilessly slaughtered by Hitler and the Nazis. About 7 to 8 million non-Jews were mercilessly slaughtered by the Nazis. They were opponents of the regime. And that included priests and nuns. That included ordinary Germans who stood up to Hitler. You just have to know the picture. And your friend Joseph Stalin, the communist, was just as bad. While Joseph Stalin didn't have gas chambers, he had other methods of exterminating tens of millions of people. And I referred to the book that just came out, almost making an equation between the two evils. Certainly you can't count bodies and make it an equal, but they're equal kind of personalities. But it's interesting to me how Hitler is rightly declared to be the evil of the last century, which he was, while Stalin is rarely mentioned in the Soviet Union, and that is because of the fellow travelers in the U.S. media who would like to see this nation go down by the same follow the same road, let's put it to you that way. So what would you like to talk about? 1-800-449-8255. Mick in Illinois, quickly. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I was going to comment initially on the FBI. They do, in fact, have authority under the Homestead Act, Homeland Security Act, sorry.
This is bewildering to me. You've got Janet Napolitano, who considers every American a potential terrorist, and strip searches your grandmother. You've got an entire Homeland Security Department doing nothing on the Wheeler murder. A useless bureaucracy that is turned on the American people, by and large, that does nothing, says nothing about the Wheeler murder. And an FBI that says nothing. Why, is all I'm asking.
I think what they're doing is, under this guise of technical advisory, they're not dealing with it directly. That department has got very limited resources. The FBI would be interviewing everybody he works with, all of his contacts, seeing what he was working on and stuff like that. It's pretty apparent to me that they don't want to do that.
In other words, the local police certainly don't have the resources nor the expertise to do this investigation, which is exactly why they want the local police to be doing it.
Exactly. And they're involved to the point where they know how far they're getting along in the investigation.
So why, then, would the FBI not be involved? You're not telling me that they know who did it and they don't want us to know? Are you saying that?
Want to be but I'm telling you the fact that they aren't speaks volumes.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, yeah, that's as far as anyone can go. So have we now become like the ex-Soviet Union, where any patriotic American can be executed, then smeared by Fox News, and then forgotten?
Well, I think that's probably pretty apparent. I also wanted to mention that I had two cases that I worked, both. In each case, they had kidnapped someone. In the first case, the guy they did not intend to kill, he escaped, and they inadvertently killed him to stop it. The second case, they did intend to kill the guy, but only after he made efforts to pay what he owed and so forth, he managed to escape as well. I suspect this man may have escaped, was under the influence of something like sodium pentothal, which, you know, is known as the truth serum.
Right.
And would account for his disorientation and inability to function the way.
No, you could run it the other way. You could say he would. Now you want to go the other way. You could say he was a double agent. They were afraid he was working for the Russians or the Iranians, that he had turned, and they gave him sodium pentothal to see what he had done, and he escaped. I mean, you could run it the other way now, couldn't you?
Exactly. I don't pretend to know who the real bad guys are, but
all right. I hear you. Stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So if you open up the New York Post, owned by the same company that has Fox News, there's no report of Mr. Wheeler. Instead, before rehab, a bloody nose, some actor I never heard of. Then there's a picture of Lindsay Lohan who comes out of rehab. It's another story. Then there's another headline about snow and the mayor's snow and the snow this, snow that. Long Island man gets 19 years for beating baby daughter to death. Reputed Gambino soldier pleads guilty, blah, blah, blah. Shaken baby, blah, blah, blah. No mention of the murder of a top flight American official. I'm just stunned by it. Is there something wrong with me that I'm seeing the story in such a serious manner? Have I lost my touch? Do I not understand the importance of an actor who went into rehab on New Year's Eve? Maybe I've lost it. Perhaps if I only saw the world through the eyes of the New York Post, I'd be a better broadcaster. Instead of talking about Mr. Wheeler's obvious assassination and cover-up by the government media complex, perhaps I should be talking about Lindsay Lohan coming out of rehab. Maybe the New York Post knows something I don't know. I mean, look at it. It's a big story on their website. And then there's one about an actor named Baldwin arguing with Wallbanger. That's another big story. Michael Douglas and chemotherapy. But there's no mention of Wheeler. So perhaps I've lost my touch. Here's something about a porn star. Here's a very important story in the New York Post. Lindsay Lohan made it through rehab, but she can't seem to shake her obsession with Samantha Ronson. I don't know who that is. After renting a house next door to Ronson in Venice, Lohan was spotted in the lobby of the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills. A spy told us, blah, 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 photos of Lindsay Lohan. See, this is the kind of reportage that you need. You don't want someone messing around with an assassination like this. Because that's news. That's investigative journalism. What you want is stories about pornography and porn stars and leg twitchers with lip gloss delivering the government media lies.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up. let's look at the stories that I culled for you from around the, I don't know, the networks, the wires around the world. 2 million fish found dead in Maryland. I know it's starting to get a little weird. Now 2 million fish in Chesapeake Bay. Now, Maryland officials say it's owing to cold shock, which is a rational scientific explanation because it's happened before. But when you see dead fish in the Chesapeake, birds dying in Arkansas and Kentucky, thousands of crab corpses littering beaches in England, well, it's bringing out the conspiracy theorists who are calling it the end of days, and they're quoting the Bible, and they say that these are signs from God that the earth is about to, the world's about to come to an end. And what can we say about that? Unleashed a flood of conspiracy theories, each proclaiming government cover-ups or apocalyptic proclamations about the end of the world. Now, I don't know what to believe. I have no reason one way or the other to believe about it. But there are those who are end-of-world people, and I think we need to perform tests to determine how and why these animals perished before we could draw any conclusion whatsoever. The end of days, I have no idea if that's true or false. We'll find out. I mean, it sounds like Y2K all over again. We do know this. The conspiracists are saying, on the earth today, and I'm quoting now, there's a lot of violence and a lot of corruption. And some of them are saying that means there's a storm ahead of us. Well, I agree in the violence and corruption, and I believe there is a storm coming from the obvious sources here in this country. But whether it's from heaven or from earth, we'll have to retain our good humor along the way. You know what I'm saying? So there it is. That's the next one on the Savage website is a birther was arrested during the reading of the Constitution in the House. An army officer shouted out a woman, "Accept Obama," as congressman reads section of Constitution on presidential eligibility. Clip 16.
No person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to be the office of president. Neither shall...
The chair would remind persons in the gallery, the chair would remind all persons in the gallery that they are here as guests of the House, and that any manifestation of approval or disapproval of the proceedings is a violation of the rules of the House. The chair notes a disturbance in the gallery in contravention of the law and rules of the House. The sergeant at arms will remove those persons responsible for the disturbance and restore order in the gallery.
I have not dropped the story of mysterious death of John P. Wheeler III. I've devoted half a week to the story, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and most of the media, other than a few wire stories, ignored it. But today, Fox News even featured an interview with Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, who's a friend of Wheeler's, who said that Wheeler's death was a hit, meaning an assassination, and the FBI should be involved. I guess he's been listening to the Savage Nation. New evidence says that witnesses have come forward saying that Wheeler's eyes were extremely bloodshot in the hours before his death. Well, I don't know what that means. Something is really wrong here. Nancy Pelosi returned to the political crypt in a meaningless display of one crowd of lobbyists replacing another, the Dems versus the Repubs. The pink shirts have now taken over for Nancy Pelosi and her gang of undead Dems. On the way out of the door, the most corrupt speaker in the history of America, in the opinion of millions, declared that now more doors are wide open for all of America's daughters, you hear this, and granddaughters, and that she was honored to be the first Italian-American speaker. This is incomprehensible. If you're Italian-American, are you proud of Nancy Pelosi? Or are you insulted by her suddenly calling upon her ethnicity? That's a really good story today, by the way. As she passed the gavel to Boehner, she declared that his gavel was larger than most. I don't know if that was a sexual innuendo or what. I'm going to let that one go. Katie Couric is pushing the agenda that she's known for. She'd like to see a primetime Muslim sitcom similar to The Cosby Show. I have no idea why she would call for that. I don't think there are enough of an audience for that, but who knows how her mind works? 1-800-449-8255. Growing numbers in the UK have converted to Islam. 100,000 people have converted, mainly white people and white women, are becoming Muslim in the UK, which is good. I think that's a very good sign for the changing of the guard in England. And so, therefore, we have no further comment on that issue. And if you look at michaelsavage.com, you'll see all the other stories of the day. I mean, I'm not going to emphasize any one over the other, but we can go to the bottom and work our way to the top for a minute. Private schools fill poor South African neighborhoods. Teen eats sheriff's cruiser seat after being arrested. He tore through the vinyl cruiser, a 2006 Chevy Impala. Okay. Big Sis, Janet Napolitano, says that counterterrorism is now focused on everyday chemicals. That's interesting. I guess she's going to now start attacking big chlorine and big nutmeg and big pepper and big salt. And be careful if you take a salt shaker with you on an airplane, because Big Sis is liable to get you. 1-800-449-8255. Dead birds found in Sweden. San Diego Memorial Cross ruled unconstitutional now by the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels. Steny Hoyer. Tea Party has come from unhappy families. On the eve of his demotion by voters, the bizarre Democrat Steny Hoyer, Democrat Maryland, offered this on the inside of the psychology of the Tea Party movement. I'll read it to you. Here's Steny Hoyer, Democrat. There are a whole lot of people in Tea Party that I see in these polls who don't want any compromise. My presumption is they have unhappy family accommodation with one another so we can move forward. That's certainly what democracy is about. So if we're going to move forward, compromise is necessary. So there it is. According to Steny Hoyer, the Democrats, the Tea Party movement is not motivated by record high levels of unemployment and spending by the federal government. Not motivated by the federal government's out-of-control economic madness. No. Not upset by the various federal bailouts of recent years. Tea Party movement not motivated by a stagnant economy with an almost 10% unemployment. No, they all go to rallies because it's easier than going home where it's dysfunctional. That's Steny Hoyer. There it is. Now, of course, Nancy Pelosi insisted that the Tea Party movement is astroturf and doesn't really exist. Huh. Steny Hoyer, by the way, gave us an update. In response to this blog post, Steny Hoyer's office sent the following statements to Capitol Hill. Quote, Mr. Hoyer clearly meant that everyone has to compromise sometimes as part of a family, and that compromise is necessary to successfully govern. He obviously was not referring to the personal family life of a large group of people. And I think that everyone should compromise at all times with big government. I mean, look, just think about it. If the Jews had compromised with Hitler early on, there wouldn't have been a need for the death camps. They just could have thrown themselves off cliffs in Sweden. They could have all gone up to the cliffs, for example, if they had compromised earlier. Right, Beowulf? Or in Italy. Yeah, I mean, Steny Hoyer says compromise is necessary with anyone in government. I mean, why didn't all the Italians compromise with Mussolini? And then they wouldn't have had to been tortured and beaten. See, this is how it works. Compromise is necessary. You never fight a government. Not with men like Steny Hoyer.
Savage.
There's virtually no coverage of the story we are covering on the Savage Nation. Now, you could say, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not an important story. You're telling me the body found in a dumpster, the man, a West Point graduate, a man so high up in the defense contracting field, is not as important as a subway savior? Because of the 20 or 30 million illegal aliens in this country, some of whom may be quite intelligent, but they don't speak English very well, therefore they don't know what's going on. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you have 30 million illegal aliens who don't speak English very well, if at all, it doesn't matter what their native IQ may be. What matters is that they have watered down the national IQ by 20 points, if not more. And so, therefore, you understand what I'm getting at. Now you understand why men like those who want the illegals flooding into the country want them here. Because they want to diminish the national IQ so they can continue to rape the treasury and turn you into a serf. Wheeler timeline. Well, I don't want to read the entire story here. He ended up in a Newark, Delaware dumpster. and we've been talking about it. Now, I've seen the conspiracy theories. Last night, I went right to the website of the European Union news, whatever it is, EU, whatever. It's nonsense. It looks like classic ex-Soviet KGB-level bluff, saying that the Air Force was releasing chemical weapons, and he knew about it, and the Air Force used KC-767 tanker aircraft from Little Rock Air Force Base, unit directed command and control, sprayed the chemicals over the Red Wing Blackbirds. So the lunatics are now saying now that Whelan knew about the dead Blackbirds or something, and that's why he wound up in a dumpster. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So you can say what you wish. Whatever the official line is, we will soon hear. I can pretty much predict what's coming in the next... I'm a mystery writer now. I've gone from nonfiction to fiction. And therefore, if I were writing the rest of the story, within, I would say, 24 to 48 hours, they arrest somebody who mysteriously dies of a heart attack or a drug overdose or threw himself out of a window off a bridge or whatever, and case closed. I will also predict that Wheeler's body is cremated very shortly before any complete forensics can be done. You know what's very intriguing to me? Remember Timothy McVeigh? Sure, you know Timothy McVeigh. The vermin in the media won't let you forget him. After all, he was Caucasian, blonde hair, blue eyes, and he allegedly did the Oklahoma City bombing on his own, even though there were many reports of a German intelligence agency, an agent who was operating alongside of him that was, you know, and others who left the country, blah, blah, blah. What's interesting to me is that we have mass murderers on death row for over 30 years, yet Timothy McVeigh was found guilty and executed, I don't know, within a year? Why was that? How come there was no investigation of why he was executed so quickly? We have mass murderers on death row for 30 years. After all, they might be innocent. Well, sure, a mass murderer might be innocent, but not Timothy McVeigh. He couldn't have been innocent. Then, of course, we had Saddam Hussein. Admittedly a lunatic in many ways, a mass murderer on the order of a mini Hitler or a mini Stalin, evil man, deserved a death sentence. But did you notice what happened to Saddam Hussein? He was found guilty by, I think, the some court in Iraq, and he was executed rather rapidly within a year. No appeals, no investigations, no nothing. How is that possible? So you see, my friends, when you step on the bear trap and you get your foot caught in it, you can never get your foot out of that bear trap. I have one foot in a bear trap right now, and I've been dragging a chain around for 2 years. It's taken its toll on me. I'd lie to you if I said otherwise. I live with my head over my shoulder at all times. And I don't want to go into details, but I know that I have been marked by the International New World Order because of things I have said on this very program. I'm not trying to be a drama queen. I'm not trying to turn this Wheeler death into me. But it's very personal for me because I have been targeted by the British government and possibly the U.S. government. But instead of killing me and throwing me in a dumpster, instead they threw my reputation into a dumpster with murderers and terrorists. You get the picture? So they kill you in many different ways. When governments don't want you, they kill you in many different ways. They kill your reputation. And then if that doesn't work, why, then the rest is kind of easy to figure out. Now, this is not a direct appeal, but it is somewhat of an appeal. Many of you have contributed to the Michael Savage Legal Fund. And I think it's time for you to reinvestigate your own willingness to check that out again. It's on michaelsavage.com. Because this is going to be a banner year for this UK case. And either I get my foot out of that bear trap, or the truth is, I don't know where this goes next. We know that a fake conservative government came to power in Britain. We know that it's a fake coalition government, no different than the last Brown administration, really no different than the Blair administration. They're all front men for the New World Order, the very same money people who gave us Barack Obama, gave us the Cameron government in England. We basically have puppets running all of the West right now. And truthfully, nobody even knows who's running this country right now. Nobody really knows. So if you'd like to talk about Wheeler's death, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. But there's no coverage of the killing, or shall I say, the obvious assassination of a major American Defense Department official. Gibbs to leave Obama press secretary post, stepping down from his post. Yes, and as I say, the human gefilte fish will be out on the lecture circuit, and there are rumors that he will be lecturing at Manischewitz fish factories around the country, but we haven't been able to confirm or deny that. So I'd rather go back to the conspiracy theories in the assassination or the death of John Wheeler for a moment on the Savage Nation. Let's go up to my super affiliate up in Sacramento, California, KSTE. Steve on KSTE, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, I wanted to talk about a possible Iranian connection to all this.
Fire away. It's all theory.
It is. It goes back to the Stuxnet worm that hit their nuclear reactor.
Right.
2 weeks after that, somebody assassinated two of their nuclear scientists.
Yes, and they blame Mossad, of course. The Jews are always blamed right away. So, and then didn't the Iranians say that there would be retaliation for that?
Yeah, the Al-Quds commander said that they would take out high-level U.S. officials in retaliation.
Well, I understand that. That's why I say, where's the FBI? All right, I get it, and I thank you for the call. If anybody else has an interesting story here, I brought up WikiLeaks. Is it related or not? How come no one's taking the bait on that one?
Savage.
What I'm going to do next is step back a little bit, recharge some. We've been going at this pace for at least 4 years. I will have an opportunity, I hope, to give some speeches. I will continue to provide advice and counsel to this building and to this president. And I look forward to continuing to do that.
Of course, that's inimitable press spokesmouth Robert Gibbs. Now, last night, I did comparison shopping after the show, and I tried various brands of bottled gefilte fish to see which brand of fish most approximated Robert Gibbs. And by far, the Manischewitz gold-labeled gelled gefilte fish wins scales down with 2 carrots for eyes and a pimento nose. Poof, you've got a magic press spokesmouth named Robert Gibbs. Now, if any of you have tried other brands of gefilte fish and put carrot eyes and pimento noses on them, and you think you've done a better effigy of Robert Gibbs, please give me a call at 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Being comedic in the political arena is the only refuge. In fact, it's the best revenge. They used to say that living well is the best revenge. I would say that being comedic in the political arena is the best revenge. Well, there it is. You have a president who's a naked, bald-faced liar. Everything about him is a fake and a lie. Not only what he says, but who he is and where he comes from and what he stands for and which side he's on. The man said that the healthcare debate would be crystal clear and on C-SPAN. Even the weasel who runs C-SPAN, Robert Lamb, who I have no respect for whatsoever, even he understands what's at stake and said to Obama, Mr. President, you promised. And of course, Mr. President said, you know, take it and shove it. You know, that's the story we're living in here. We're living in a banana republic right now. I wouldn't even call it a banana republic. We have incompetence at every level of the government. We have liars at every level of the government. We have traitors at every level of the government. We have interns who are deep sleepers from Islamofascist regimes at every level of the government. And you wonder why they're soft on terrorism. You wonder why your grandmother is being frisked at the airport instead of Islamofascists. You wonder why a baby's diapers are being looked at instead of the diapers of the diaper bombers from Nigeria. I want to read you an email from a very important friend of mine. He's also an advertiser, the most, I would say, the oldest advertiser I have on the Savage Nation. I don't know if I should mention his name, but his product is great. I'm not doing it because he's an advertiser, but I want to read you an email. He and I communicate on a regular basis. He had sent me an email saying, Michael Savage, good to hear you're back. I tuned in last night, and you could sense the joy in your spirit. It was a great blessing to your fans. And the short time I listened was awesome. Hope is all well with you. Give my love at home. He said, truth be told, you have the effect on many more people than you think. Last night was special, Michael. You shared a side of Savage that was really intriguing. The greatest part about it was its authenticity. You didn't even know you were doing it. It was just who you are. I've told you many times before, Michael, you have been chosen for such a time as this. Many are called, but few are chosen. I know being chosen comes at a cost, but if not you, who? If not when, when? The history books will record you in this time period as a very important and influential person, and because you don't exploit that to your advantage, shows the greatness of your character. Great men never know they are making history when it is occurring. They are too focused on the task and battle at hand. That is you. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I'm reading it because I hope to God there's some truth in it with regard to standing here with a lamp trying to bring some light to a dark world. They say that those who light a candle in the dark, instead of cursing it, do a greater job or something to that effect. Don't curse the darkness. Light a candle in the darkness is what they say. And that's what I try to do here in the Savage Nation. There are many news stories out there, many things to talk about, and we can talk about them by calling 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I think we'll start with Obama promised during the campaign he'd have the most transparent administration in history. Well, we found out that under Nancy Pelosi, it is a despotic, dark administration. It is despotic, it is dark, it is un-American. It is a backwater administration, something you would have found in another nation at another time. It's almost like Mussolini's fascist Italy in the making here. Now, here's another story. Inspector General of the DHS. Now, here's the Inspector General. He's not a Republican. It's the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security says that the DHS can't do its job. They said the Department of Homeland Security is functional only in name. And Napolitano holds on to her job. The woman couldn't be a mall cop. If she came at you with a club as a mall cop, would you be afraid of her? Now, what if you're a diaper bomber? You'd be laughing all the way to the airport. It's astounding what's going on in this country. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Michael. My mother, God rest her soul, loved your... She was from Mount Vernon, New York, and lived in Houston. Mm-hmm. And she loved your stories about New York. It always thrilled her heart.
You know, everybody loves the stories, and I know there's a commonality in it. All races and all religions have stories about their childhood. But I think that what unites the listenership most about my stories, even those who don't like my politics, is the fact that they're from the heart, and stories that are true and from the heart generally ring true.
Felt, Michael, that's the key right there, and I respect your honesty and your integrity, and God bless you.
Well, thank you. That's all a man needs to say to another man. What more does a man need to hear? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Here's another one that's a little odd. The governor of Idaho says that God's help is needed to save the Constitution. He must be listening to the Savage Nation, because I've said the very same words, and I said it last October, November. To think that we can save the Constitution without God's help when the government of the United States is corrupt is absurdity, said the governor of Idaho. Can you believe this? They all know it. I mean, many people understand how close we are to losing our constitutional rights. When you have a Mussolini in a skirt like Nancy Pelosi, one of the most despotic women in the history of the world, who is now railroading a pork barrel bill through the Congress, you have Islamofascism on the march in America and around the world, and you have an administration either looking the other way or aiding and abetting. You have to understand the trouble this great republic is in. That's my opinion. You have to understand this. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. Believe me, we're not near the end of this. Now, here's one from Europe. The Cardinal of Czechoslovakia warns that Muslims are conquering Europe. Did you hear me? Cardinal Miloslav Vlik has warned in an interview, quote, that if Europe doesn't change its relation to its own roots, it will be Islamicized. Many people understand that we are facing the same threats that our antecedents faced with Nazism with regard to Islamofascism. You've got these people in Europe who are screaming, take over the world, bring in Sharia law, overthrow this, overthrow that. Europe is the cancer, Islam is the answer. I have the pictures of them. right here on michaelsavage.com. I have to repeat, I guess, the mantra that most Muslims are as much afraid of them as non-Muslims, and that's true. But that doesn't do us any good. It doesn't do us any good at all. Cardinal Milosav Lick has warned that, quote, if Europe doesn't change its relation to its own roots, it will be Islamicized. Now, that's an interesting story unto itself. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Let's forget politics already. We know how bad things are. They're going to get worse. Now let's move on to having fun. I mean, I was away for almost, I hate traveling. 3 nights is the most I could be away from my own bed. Now, admittedly, I move around in my hometown. I have 4 or 5 places, 4 or 5 studios. I'm rarely in one place more than 1 night at a time, for whatever reason you can figure out. I got some, there were some Christmas presents waiting for me that I just opened. And my favorite was from, a friend of ours, Irene, the dog care person, Irene gave me a life hammer, the original emergency tool. I hope I never need it. I mean, cut seat belts and break auto glass, just what I always wanted, Irene, thank you. I never heard of such a thing. You mean if you go into like a ditch with water? Powerful double steel-tipped hammerheads, razor, safety blade for cutting a seat belt, and you can break a window open. I mean, all right, you know, it's wonderful. I'll take it on my next airplane flight. How about that? I'll put on a robe, I'll tell him I'm from Nigeria and I have no passport, and my life hammer is part of my religion. How's that? Will they let me on the plane, do you think? Phil, will they let me on the plane with it if I put on a robe and say I'm from Nigeria? I'm sure that the DHS will check a manual unless they have to let me on the plane with a life hammer. Okay, some ethnic humor, if that's not good enough. Here's ethnic humor. 4 Jewish brothers left home for college, and eventually they became successful doctors and lawyers and prospered. Some years later, they chatted after having dinner together. They discussed the gifts that they were able to give to their elderly mother, who lived far away in another city. The first brother said, I had a big house built for Mama. The second said, I had a $100,000 theater built in the house. The third said, I had my Mercedes deal to deliver an SL600 with a chauffeur. The fourth brother said, listen to this. You know how Mama loved reading the Torah, and you know she can't anymore because she can't see very well. I met this rabbi who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Torah. It took 20 rabbis 12 years to teach the parrot. I had to pledge to contribute $100,000 a year for 20 years to the temple, but it was worth it. Mama just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot will recite it. The other brothers were impressed. After the holidays, Mama sent out her thank you notes. She wrote, Milton, the house you built is so huge, I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Thanks anyway. Marvin, my wonderful son, I'm too old to travel. I stay home. I have my groceries delivered, so I never use the Mercedes, and the driver you hired is a Nazi. The thought was good, though. Thanks. My other son, Maham, you gave me an expensive theater with Dolby Sound. It could hold 50 people, but all my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing, and I'm nearly blind. I'll never use it. Thank you for the gesture just the same. Dearest Melvin, you were the only son to have the good sense to give a little thought to your gift. The chicken was delicious. I'm not into these canned jokes, but, you know, once in a while I got it by email. I thought it was funny. It's so typical. You know, I used to hear this as a red shirt, blue shirt mother. Did you ever hear the red shirt, blue shirt mother? This is a simple version. It applies to any ethnic mother from the Mediterranean. The mother gives a son a shirt. Or is it the other way around? The mother gives the son, the mother gives the son 2 shirts. Let's say it's an Italian mother. So she gives Lorenzo 2 shirts. She comes to his house, and he's wearing the red shirt. So she says to him, what's wrong with the blue shirt? You get the joke? In other words, no matter what Lorenzo did, the mother would say something is wrong. And I don't know what it is. There's a certain generation of mothers who like to pick on their sons. They think they're doing them a favor. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? I was at lunch with a friend of mine. And we were talking. I had some Indian food in a buffet. And we come down. You know what's funny what friendship is? I'm a loner, generally alone. And it's funny when you're alone, if you're contained in your own thoughts, the world feels a certain way. But after a lunch with a friend where you talk and share everything, like when you're kids again, walking down the escalator at the place, I felt 10 times bigger. I didn't even have a drink. I drank a Diet Coke. So I said to him, you know, I said, it's amazing how friendship changes the spheric atmosphere of a place. It makes you feel differently. He said, it is. I said, how do you define friendship? He said, well, Michael, how do you define friendship? I said, I would define friendship as someone you have a bond with who you trust 100% emotionally and financially. He said, you know, I never heard that. He said, that's a perfect way to define a friend. How would you define a friend? I mean, I don't know. You know, like I define a nation by its borders, language, and culture. Nobody has beat me on that definition. I've never read a better definition. I never saw one written, ever. A nation is defined by its borders, language, culture. By that definition, our politicians are fighting against our nation. They're working for the enemies of America. Am I right or wrong? They're breaking the borders. They're breaking the language. They've destroyed the culture. No wonder the girls wind up the way they are in this country. Do I have to spell it out? It's always the women, by the way, that shape a nation. Men are always wayward and, you know, by and large, men are wayward. Women are the homemakers. Women have to want to get married. Women have to make the family. Women have to make the home. And women have to create the whole structure. And look at the role models, what you have here. The celebo sluts like the Hilton sisters. They're held up as role models. Every one of them psychos and drug use. I mean, wherever you look, drugs and puking on themselves in a nightclub. Who's putting these images out? The media. The media is who destroyed America. Make no mistake about it. So what are you going to do about it? Create a government-controlled media? Yeah, that's going to be better. So here we are. I'm glad that I have a forum and I have a microphone and I can, you know, tell you like it is the way I see it. But then again, it's one man's opinion. I mean, you know, that's all it is one man's opinion. I'm an older guy. I admit it. Maybe I'm a throwback. Maybe I'm out of touch with America. Maybe I don't see it the way America should be seeing things, you know, diversity. And after all, I said diversity is perversity a long time ago. Of course, I was right, but it doesn't mean I should still see it that way. I mean, that could be illegal for all I know. I was against illegal immigration from 1994. I started sounding the alarm like Paul Revere. They call me every name under the sun. Protested. You name it. Banned me from Britain. All because I said it like it is. The crotch bomber was allowed in and out of England. Me, Michael Savage, conservative talk radio host, banned in Britain. That's right. So there it is. Well, I'm not complaining. I'm not crying about it. That's all there is to it. Worst things that could happen to you. People get sick overnight. While they're talking, they die of a heart attack. Horrible. I was re-watching. I think I'm going to stop. Already nightmares, axes, knives. I don't know. Maybe I started watching TV again. I think it's the TV. I watched the rerun of The Sopranos. I got so bored again last night. TV, very complicated. Blu-ray, Pink-ray, me. I can't find anything. I feel like I'm in a nursing home. I need someone to do it for me. I get home, I can work it. All right, so I turn on Sopranos. My luck, I watch the segment where one of the rats in the car is divulging information to an FBI guy. He's an informer. And as he's talking, he gives a tape that he recorded with a wire to one of the FBI guys. And he says to him, well, here we got Tony Soprano talking about the murder of blank. And although it's gobbled, I could testify in court and hold and support it. And he stops talking and dies. I don't want to watch a heart attack like that. They're fun to watch, but when you know when you had ancestors who died that way, it's not pleasant. So there's a wondering, what are about? Like, where does it happen? Forget it. I don't even want to go there. I don't want to go there. You know, people get sick, they die. What are you going to do? It's the way of all flesh. But when you see a nation dying, it's hard to watch. It's like watching an elephant go down and dying slowly under Obama. Sometimes I feel like America's been sent a shot with an elephant gun by Obama and the people behind him. He was the magic bullet to bring us down. And I hear the elephant roaring. It's on its front legs. And it's trying to hold on, but it's going down. I mean, really, I get heartbreaking images. I don't know how to control them sometimes. This guy is like a bullet that was shot into the heart of the country. The man is wrecking everything. He's nationalized the banks. He's nationalized the insurance industry. He's tried to nationalize the auto industry. He's trying to nationalize the healthcare industry. And when he gets through wrecking all of these free enterprise systems, he wants to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens. The man is the silver bullet of the enemies of America, in my opinion. Don't call me about it because I'm not going to argue with you. I know I'm right. Monterey, California. John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Wow, Michael, I've been sitting here listening to you on the phone for the last 40 minutes or so, and I'm just amazed at your analysis. And I just have never agreed with anyone more in my life than the things that come out of your mouth. It's just amazing, and I want to thank you for what I would say brilliant radio, not average radio, brilliant radio, and I thank you for that.
Well, that's nice to hear once in a while. So what's on your mind?
My mind is that, you know, I know a lot of conservatives that live in liberal areas or like you said, fascistic areas, and we have to be very careful that we could even lose our jobs. I mean, they always focus on the negative stuff about this country, and it's very hard for conservative people to hear that stuff and not respond. And sometimes
it's hard to take it. It's hard to take it, all this anti-Americanism from these louts. Stand up and speak out. I can't help you with it. Get a copy of my book and give it to them. Then you really lose your job. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.